Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with the urgent prophecies of the last times that have come to us through the intercession of the Mother of God. For 25 years, beginning in 1970, the Virgin Mary and Jesus would appear at the sacred grounds of Bayside in New York and deliver a number of prophecies for our time. The apparition was specifically to Veronica Lucan, a wife and mother of five from the New York area who was designated to be Heaven's messenger to the world in these last times. As it says in Amos 3:7, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets." And Veronica was a prophet of our time whom the Almighty had raised up for these very days. In light of recent events in the Church, it's good to clarify the matter of papal infallibility. The Church teaches that the Pope is infallible in his decrees, that he cannot err in his pronouncements. However, this infallibility only applies when the Pope is defining a point of dogma before the Church, when he is speaking ex cathedra as supreme teacher of the flock. It does not apply to his daily performance. His books, his encyclicals, his sermons are subject to error. And even though it's not likely that a Pope should ever err, he nonetheless does not have that special guarantee of infallibility during the regular course of his pontificate. Popes can err from time to time. They are human. And with the great diabolical pressures of these last times, these errors have been most apt to occur in the past 40 years or so, though I would say these errors from the popes have been slight. The greatest and most common error of the past four popes is that they haven't put their foot down hard enough against the heretics who are now loosed in the Church. We refer especially to your modernist clergy and bishops. They are the ones who have engineered these changes and innovations since the Second Vatican Council, and it is these liberalist clergy whom Our Lady has stood against in her message. In the message of April 9, 1977, she said, quote, "Bishops and cardinals in my son's church, whatever shall become of you? You have cast off the light and proceed farther into the darkness. You are running about making changes, introducing novelties, and for what? For the ultimate destruction of my son's church." On April 2, 1977, Our Lady spoke of the false sense of progress being promoted by today's clergy, where she said, quote, "We see a church of man being built, a church that has no angels guiding it, a church that is made, as the true church of my son is being chipped away at, undermined by my son's own priests. How dare you debase my son's heritage by allowing evil to be condoned in this church? You men who were formerly of the light and have given yourselves to the darkness, you condone this foul act of homosexuality. And why? As Satan inspires you and directs you, you go about looking for excuses for sin. You condone it with permissiveness. You have taken the direction and the commandments of your God and you reevaluate. You take them to your scholars who have their heads of fog, and in your masterly, worldly way, you delude those of less learning to believe, because of your high-sounding words and thesis and all manner of scholarly knowledge, you delude those who do not have the God-given knowledge to believe your rot. You even deny the truth of what the Eternal Father did to Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of homosexuality. You, who cry love of neighbor, do not twist the truth and say that Sodom and Gomorrah fell because they were inhospitable. Oh no, I say unto you, hospitality had nothing at all to do with this. It was a manner of degrading, debased sin, using a creation of the Eternal Father for vile acts, animal acts, and far worse, until your filth and pollution has entered into the minds and souls of the young. You defilers of mankind, the skin shall burn off your bones soon." And that is Our Lady speaking to the liberalist priests on April 2nd, 1977. And so we see Our Lady 30 years ago making reference to these culprits behind the scene who have been spawning this pedophilia scandal, the homosexual priests. Here she calls them defilers of the young. But this is all part of the liberalization since Vatican II, where we have dialogue with feminists and homosexuals and Buddhists, but this liberalization has been coming from the bishops, not the popes. As Our Lady stated on September 27, 1975, quote, "These changes, the changes that have given bad fruits, have not been given to you through the Holy Spirit and through your vicar, Pope Paul VI. It is the web of Satan reaching out." Indeed, Satan, the prince of darkness, has unleashed this massive assault against the Catholic Church today. And this was the basic gist of the long-awaited Third Secret of Fatima. Our Lady herself has told us this. Since Vatican II, we have seen a radical departure from tradition that has all but paganized the flock of Christ. The Church in our time has been carousing around a golden calf, and stamped on its rear hind are the words, Vatican II. Now, in 1988, Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict XVI, had gone on record as saying that it was time that we go back and consider the mistakes that were made at Vatican Council II. He criticized how some had raised the Council to the level of a superdogma, as if it exerted some sort of binding force upon the Church, when in fact the Church had never been under any such ordinance or jurisdiction known as Vatican II. Our Lady calls it a delusion. And he certainly confessed the truth. The Council at best was an experiment, and a disastrous one at that. Pope Paul VI, in recounting the aftermath of Vatican II, had even stated to the world, quote, "From some fissure, the smoke of Satan entered into the temple of God." And that was the Pope speaking June 29, 1972. Indeed, Satan entered our Church through the Second Vatican Council. His plan was to bring about a change of ordinance, known as Novus Ordo Seclorum, so that the focus would be shifted from God to man. The game plan was no big secret. The objective was to turn the priest around so that he now says the Mass facing the people with his back to the tabernacle. The idea was to suggest that the Church should turn its back on God and turn toward one another instead. And have we not seen a spirit of betrayal prevailing since that time? Has not the faith been all but devastated in many areas of the globe? Certainly, we will have noted a Church in ruins. All one has to do is think back 40 years and remember a Church that was beautifully united with one universal language and liturgy. That was in Latin. It was a Church adorned with beauty and majesty, a Church where Christ the King was revered in holy attire. And now, 40 years later, we see a Church that's been reduced to utter shambles. Everything from degenerate rock liturgy to gay ministries are tearing the Church apart as the people swing to the beat of a new gospel. In some churches, they even proclaim now that we are the Eucharist, as they boldly assert their new roles as lay leaders, women ministers, liturgy planners, music ministers, etc., etc. Pope Pius XII seemed to prophesy concerning our time when he said, "The day is coming when the civilized world will deny its God, when the Church will doubt, as Peter doubted. She will be tempted to believe that man has become God." Indeed, the Pope's prophecy has come to pass right on target. This is why it is hoped that the new Pope can maybe do something to save the Church. He now sits at the till, where he can make some skillful moves to steer the bark of Peter back into the deep, so that it can resume its fishing away from the secular coasts. The Church in our time has been laboring all night in the dark without taking much of anything, because its ministers haven't learned to take the Master at his word and let their nets down the traditional way. They've been employing the invention of their own hands, and what have been the fruits of their labors but escalating sin, divorce, sexual abuse, perversion, heresy, apostasy, even to the point that we see the faithful today stretching forth their hands to strange gods and spirits that their forefathers knew not. And we're speaking, of course, of the new charismatic sorcery condemned by Pope Paul VI in 1969. The point being that Christ today is not central before the public eye because of all these liturgical antics and distractions. The new rites have steered them away from their God, so something is needed to pull the faithful back into focus so that Christ is lifted up in center view before the Church, and that something is a return of the traditional Latin Mass. This would be the till that steers the Church back into the arms of its loving Savior on the cross. But at the very least, we would hope that something can finally be done to release the Third Secret of Fatima in its entirety. Cardinal Ratzinger has stated that this has not been done yet. The question is this: how are the members of the Church Militant going to be motivated to fight the battles of the Lord when they don't even believe the enemy is there? Certainly, the release of the Third Secret would be fighting help from heaven to spur the troops on in the battle. But also, we need to guard the fort. We need to bring St. Michael back to the Church. When they took away his prayer in 1964, this provided that fissure through which the enemy infiltrated our Church. So why not plug up the infernal floodgates by reinstating the prayer to St. Michael after the Sunday Masses? We must pray that this Pope will act to steer the Church out of the present crisis, because we are truly witnessing the scattering of the bands of God's holy people. 40 years of modernist stench have chased them away from the Church. It's time to draw them back with the ointment of holy tradition. 2,000 years of Church history has certainly proven that tradition works. 40 years of reform has proven that change and innovation does not work. But it has also proven that God hasn't been behind it. Because according to the Scriptures, God is, quote, "the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration." And I'm quoting from James 1:17. According to Our Lady, it is the Prince of Darkness, Satan, who has promoted our change since Vatican II. In the words of Jesus, I quote, "Satan himself, the deceiver of all mankind, sat in on Vatican II and maneuvered all the outsiders to come in and distort my doctrines and distort the truth." And that's Jesus speaking, June 18, 1986, to the seer Veronica. We can understand now the significance of 1960 as a year for releasing the third secret, because it was just 2 years later that they would convene Vatican II, setting into motion this insidious departure from the faith that has all but devastated the Church. Our Lady was trying to warn the world of this coming event. She was trying to beat the devil to the punch. So again, we can only hope and pray that Pope Benedict XVI will finally come forward and release the third secret of Fatima in its entirety. Now, Cardinal Ratzinger, in a private conversation with a personal friend of Pope John Paul II, was asked, "Was the whole third secret revealed in your press conference?" Ratzinger admitted, quote, "Truly, that was not all of it." What the Vatican released in June 2000 was a symbolic vision from Sister Lucia's notebook, which was related to the third secret, but clearly the secret itself was left out entirely. And so it is hoped that Pope Benedict will take courage and do what he has to do for the greater freedom and exaltation of Holy Mother Church. This is going to spur on the troops to battle, so it only behooves him. But we have to pray that he has the courage. As we said above, popes can weaken, they can err, so they need prayers. Only a handful of dedicated, traditional priests have had the courage of their convictions to come forward and confess Heaven's message before the public. One worth mentioning is Father Robert Skirla, the former international chaplain for the Fatima Blue Army, who is now pastor of St. Mary's Church in Jersey City, New Jersey. On August 8, 2004, Father delivered an inspiring sermon on Veronica and her message, which we're going to hear now. Due to a limit of time, we have edited parts of it so as to make it more adaptable to today's program.
You will be called Veronica of the Cross. Veronica is a chosen voice box. It's a strange word, voice box, but it's a very important word. A voice box. And her work is to transmit the messages from Jesus and Mary to all the people in the world. Veronica, I often wondered, why is this poor woman suffering so much? Veronica is the one responsible for transmitting the messages from heaven perfectly. Perfectly. Read the messages. Jesus and Mary knew. They're perfect. Infallible. And that's the one thing I admired about that woman. When she spoke, she sounded like the voice of God was coming right through her. You can have faith in those messages. I do. This could be the reason why God made her suffer so much, to make her strong, a worthy vessel, to transmit these important messages exactly as Jesus and Mary gave them. The Blessed Mother told her, "My child, you will be afflicted with great physical suffering for the rest of your time on earth. Accept it, my child." She's asked to accept it. The followers of Veronica of the Cross could also reflect on these words. You probably would have to suffer the rest of your time on earth like her. Penance is humanly painful. But after all penance, there is a great joy. Our Lord, on November 21st, 1981, said, "Your reward shall not be found here on earth, but in paradise." It is the only reward that man should strive for. All else is vanity. September the 13th, 1974. For those who will be saved must accept a life of martyrdom. There are many people who will ostracize you, my child. There are many who will condemn you. You will receive very little recognition. For the followers of Veronica of the Cross, I refer to you as the St. Michael World Apostolate. Jesus and Mary, in their messages, talk about restoring the church to its original beauty, the church as it was in the first 1,000 years. The Blessed Lady said, "Oh, my children, when my son returns upon your earth, do you think that he will find even a little flicker of faith left in the hearts of mankind?" In the days of Sodom, so too were men giving themselves over to all the pleasures of the flesh. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. All manner of sinful lusts were being committed. Men shameful with men. Women casting aside their role of motherhood and lusting after women, as it was in the days of Sodom, who now is this black cloud over America. And these words are not mine. They're from the Blessed Mother on July the 14th, 1979. In 1951, I was ordained in 56. That's quite a while back, a good 50 years. In 1951, Pope Pius XII said that the world is worse today than before the flood, and that mankind should ready itself for a chastisement. He's saying that in 1951. What would he say today? The chastisement that God is going to send upon us is the kind that has never been seen before by humans. It'll be the worst one ever. Jesus said on June the 18th, 1986, "For soon there will come upon you the great chastisement." It comes to you in two parts. The Third World War is the first part. And the second part is the ball of redemption. They talk about a great warning. A great warning would come, and then there would be a great miracle. And after that, if nothing changes and man continues to offend the Heavenly Father, there will be a great war, and there will be a great, terrible chastisement. And the Blessed Mother also said this in 1975. Let's face it, you have but two final destinies, heaven or hell. Take your pick. Your life on earth is but a pilgrimage. Your life eternal is forever. The choice is yours, my children. This is the Blessed Mother talking. And our Blessed Lady said, "My children, I repeat my promise to mankind that I shall be with you here upon your earth until the arrival, the second coming of my Son." What will happen in the future will happen now. That's the main reason why I'm standing in front of you now, to tell you that it's now. But you people are prepared for this. You know what I'm talking about, and you know what I'm saying is true. God offers martyrdom to everyone. As for myself, I accept. Our Lord accepted his cross, and I accept whatever God has in mind for me, I accept it. If it's martyrdom, that's it. And that's what I'm telling you. You know what to do. You go over there. You've been praying. You made a holy hour every Sunday morning for priests and the Holy Father for 34 years. You anybody else that has a group in this country that have prayed an hour for priests and the Holy Father for 34 times every week on a Sunday? And that is a feather in your cap. You are God's special children. You were chosen. The Blessed Mother said, "You must remember to call on Michael and the angels. No one will be lost if they call on them." That's the end of my talk. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to Father Robert Skirla, the former international chaplain for the Fatima Blue Army, speaking on Our Lady's apparitions at Bayside. Would that all the priests of the Church would speak like him. And Father has been at it for a while now. In fact, on Palm Sunday 1982, he gave a dynamite sermon at St. Peter's Cathedral in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in which he defended Bayside's legitimacy and its perfect keeping with church practice and doctrine, and for this he got bashed by the liberal faction. And he receded back somewhat. We might say that he went into hiding for a while, but Our Lady came to his defense in the message of July 1st, 1985, when she said, quote, "At this time, I wish to extend my mother's heart of comfort to Father S. It was the Eternal Father's will that he come unto you, but naturally, as he joined the flock from heaven, the wolves were after him and dispersed him from among the flock. His heart is known to me, my children, so do not seek to find reasons for his present conduct. He will come back, but he will have a heavy cross to carry when he returns. We are proud of our son, that he did much to spread the message from heaven." And that is the Blessed Virgin Mary speaking about Father Skirla in the message of July 1st, 1985. Boy, that's a feather in his cap. Well, we've been talking about Veronica. Now we're going to hear from Veronica. We're going to listen to a recorded segment of Veronica receiving the message from the Virgin Mary on August 21st, 1985. Again, these visitations took place at Rosary Vigils at the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York, commonly referred to as Bayside. Veronica at the vigils would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see and describe the Blessed Virgin and her Divine Son, At their direction, she would repeat out loud the message they would give her while her voice was being recorded. Now, what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is the Virgin Mary speaking through her.
Day by day, man is killing now. Many countries shall be embroiled in wars until we have the greatest war ever seen, nor shall ever be seen again, the Third World War, which shall engulf the nations, and many nations shall disappear from the force of the armaments being gathered now throughout Russia. Yes, my child. No matter how the world reacts to the truth, you will shout it from the rooftops that Russia has not accepted any overtures from Rome. Unless Russia can be dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Jesus and Mary, unless they will recognize the truth, they will continue to go throughout the world, sowing seeds of discord, discontentment, and war. You know, my children, that war is a punishment for man's sins, but also war is an indication of the loss of the knowledge of God. My children, I cannot enforce myself upon you. I can only plead with you as a mother of mercy to turn back now while there is still a little time. The enemies of God are all about you. Russia has planned these days, my child and my children, and how I have begged for years of Earth's time that Russia be consecrated to my Immaculate Heart. When she is consecrated, she will be converted, my children, and then you shall see the world of joy again. Tears shall be banished, and mothers shall not sorrow until they die of grief for the loss of their children and their sons. My child and my children, I want you to understand that we have been patient with only the patience that God, the Eternal Father in the Holy Ghost, could manifest to you. No human being can understand the suffering that we have resolved ourselves to for your salvation and the salvation of all of the souls upon earth. My children, you are all my children. Do not allow me any longer to see the great evil that you are developing upon earth. You are giving yourselves over to seeking armaments to kill. And for what, my children? The Eternal Father shouts from the rooftops, thou shalt not kill thy brother. My child and my children, I wish now that there be taken three photographs. I say three because within these photographs, my child, you and you alone will find the date of the Third World War.
You are listening to St. Michael's broadcast, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of the Seer Veronica receiving the message from the Virgin Mary on August 21st, 1985. As she indicated in this segment, she does not want us, or the Russians, or anybody, resorting to the abomination of nuclear bombs. There isn't a person on this earth that can tell you that the development of nuclear bombs can do any good. It doesn't take a learned person to know that when that first button is pushed, it will mean the end of the human race. And Our Lady back at Fatima already saw that if we didn't take her method of fighting and say that daily rosary throughout the world, that various nations would be annihilated in the end. And this is what she's telling us today, that we are approaching that time when we will see nations vanish in the twinkling of an eye. Again, we would invite you to write for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That website again, www.smwa.com. www.mayourlady.org. And may Our Lady bless you